From the Philadelphia headquarters of the ACE Group, welcome to the first of two podcasts on data security issues. In this program, preparing for the inevitable data breach. What to do before sensitive customer and employee data is breached, stolen, or compromised. Here's your host, Richard Tallow.
Hello, I'm Richard Tallow, Senior Vice President of North America Communications at the Philadelphia headquarters of the ACE Group of Companies. Welcome to the first of two podcasts ACE has produced to discuss how risk managers can prepare for and deal with breaches of personal information at their companies. Recent developments in state and federal law require more disclosure from companies that experience data breaches. Under a new, tightly designed set of rules, companies that collect personal information regarding customers, employees, or really anyone, are required to notify individuals in the event their personal information has been compromised. In addition, companies may be at an increased risk of data theft. According to the Identity Theft Resource Center, the number of reported breaches skyrocketed from 446 breaches in 2007 to 656 breaches in 2008, an increase of 47%. And that number is expected to grow as more and more businesses conduct it electronically. When a data breach occurs, it can be very costly for companies and open the door to legal liability. For instance, here are some of the costs typically associated with data breaches. First, there's the cost to find out what actually has been compromised and who may be affected using technical investigation and computer forensics. Second, there's the cost of notifying the individual customers or employees who may be affected and the cost of staffing call centers to support these efforts. Third, there's the cost of hiring legal and public relations specialists and consultants to advise on the best method of communicating with the affected individuals and even the best practices for the call center. Fourth, there's the potential expense of providing credit monitoring or repair services over a set period of time. And lastly, the potential legal liability arising from lawsuits filed by the affected individuals, by classes, by financial institutions, and by federal agencies. Instituting a formal plan to deal with the consequences of a data breach is a critical risk management component in an age where so much business is conducted electronically. The last thing a company CEO needs after a serious privacy event is to have his or her staff react to the crisis in panic mode. Now I'd like to introduce three experts who will tell you about the steps you need to take to create an effective pre-event plan. Toby Merrill, National Privacy Product Manager for ACE USA. John Mullen, a partner in the law firm of Nelson, Levine, DeLuca, and Horst. And finally, Mark Greisinger, president of NetDiligence, a data privacy and security firm. First, Toby, what are the first steps an organization should take in beginning to create a data breach or incident response plan?
Thanks, Rich. One of the most important facets of a response plan is knowing how to respond to an incident before it occurs. This can save valuable time, money, and effort. But before you can determine how your company should respond to a breach, you will need to identify who in your organization needs to be involved. The best place to start is by identifying those individuals in the organization who are critical to the planning and execution of a data breach response. Depending on the characteristics and scope of the breach, representatives of various functions of an organization should participate. However, the standing members of the team should typically include senior level management from legal, compliance, information security, risk management, corporate communications, and marketing. Each member of the crisis response team will probably come in with different perspectives and strategies for the response. So the next step is to identify a team leader to manage the crisis and direct operations. This individual will need to operate as the central point of contact for reporting status to senior management. The team leader will also oversee the implementation of the plan, ensure the team follows the overall direction of the plan, and finally delegate incident management responsibilities to others as needed. Once the crisis response team is assembled, there should be no question about who is in charge. Next, a company needs to identify the external expertise and resources that are needed. It's not unusual for organizations to tap specialists in the marketplace for assistance with forensic, legal, and public relations matters. Therefore, it is important to pre-approve these vendors and add them to your incident response plan.
Thanks, Toby. Mark, why is it important to secure computer forensic specialists in advance? Can a company assign its internal IT staff to do this job instead?
Actually, no. I wouldn't recommend that a company's IT staff perform this function because this work can be highly technical, and many companies can't afford to have a forensic investigator full-time on its staff. A qualified forensic specialist will, at a minimum, be able to one, examine each system impacted, prepare a detailed description of the hardware software configurations and generate a bit-by-bit copy of the media to be examined. The forensic specialist will also complete the examination by making a backup copy of this. It's also called a clone of the data. An investigator should never do anything to the subject drive before backing it up. This duplicate is also known as a clone or a bitstream backup. The data must always be analyzed in a read-only manner so that it's not altered. At the same time, proper equipment may be needed. Example might include EnCase. This is a software product for imaging capabilities, analyzing emails, and processing and analyzing large image files. Finally, in addition to providing triage and securing a network, the specialist should be trained in mirroring compromised servers and protecting the evidentiary chain of custody for potential legal action against the perpetrators. And as a reminder, it's always important to bring in a third-party forensic specialist as soon as possible. This will help you limit the damages.
Thanks, Mark. John, how should companies approach communicating with the public following a serious breach?
Well, in a word, carefully. A good plan for crisis communications is vital because companies face a variety of issues following a serious breach, including how to manage their reputation. Such a plan could prevent reports about a breach from becoming the next news cycle feature. At the same time, the plan should address a way of communicating transparently to the public, including individuals who are directly affected. It's recommended that a company take a proactive stance in communicating the specific occurrence of a breach to all affected parties, including sharing the information about how the company is responding and providing reassuring guidance about the options available to those individuals.
Thanks, John. What authorities should a company notify when a breach occurs?
That's a great question. A company may choose to contact the FBI or other authority depending on the type of loss. With an accidental loss, a company will probably not need to involve government authorities unless specifically directed by statute, and that is the case in some states. But if the loss involves hacking or extortion, the company may want to consider contacting authorities for assistance, depending on the severity and the scope of the breach and the situation.
Thanks, John. Going back to Mark, what are some of the other pre-event steps you recommend companies take?
There are many things that companies can do to reduce the losses they face. I recommend they pre-qualify and pre-negotiate costs in the scope of the following type of services. Number one, notification and call center services, which are vital. Also, updating the website FAQs that will address what customers and employees should do in the event of a breach. Legal services to help interpret the vast amount of state and federal breach notice laws and duties or violations, such as failure to encrypt certain data. Security vendor services to repair vulnerabilities in the system or to strengthen them, including end-to-end encryption issues. Public relation costs to deal with media onslaught. In addition, if the attack is a denial of service attack in its nature, the company may need help from its internet service provider to thwart the massive onslaught attack. Depending on the information breached, a company may also wish to offer credit monitoring services of some sort. This may be important consideration for retailers, financial institutions, or any other company with access to personal identifiable customer information. Today, it's much easier for companies to estimate these kind of costs, and some firms have even developed a data breach matrix chart. This will assist companies in assessing the potential exposures in advance of such data breach events.
Thanks, Mark. John, according to many surveys, one out of every three breaches arises out of the third-party service provider's loss of sensitive customer information, forcing the company employing them to notify their customers of a breach. What can companies do to help keep this from happening and reduce the potential for liability?
Third-party vendor relationships are beneficial, but in instances of privacy breaches, they can be fraught with risk. There are contractual methods that allow a company to shift some of the liability, although that does not really allow a company to prevent itself from being sued or, frankly, release it from its obligation to notify individuals whose data has been lost. In fact, more and more companies are finding that an obligation to notify lies with the owner of the data, not necessarily the service provider who may have lost it. In other words, outsourcing your service does not transfer your obligation or liabilities when it comes to data breaches. The company may want to require that its third-party vendors be as secure or more secure than the company itself. There are ways to structure contracts between organizations and third-party vendors to limit or transfer liability and potential costs exposure on to the vendor whenever possible.
Thanks, John. Toby, is there anything else companies should do to make their crisis management plan the best it can be?
As I mentioned earlier, a solid plan should identify a team leader to manage the crisis and direct operations. Companies should also designate an individual who will serve as the single point of contact with the media and other key internal and external audiences, as well as to provide a consistent voice for the organization. This individual should be well-versed in the crisis response plan. It may also be prudent to pre-approve a third-party communications or public relations firm with experience in responding to data breaches to provide backup support to the company spokesperson. Also, there are many different types of breaches that could occur, and a company may want to consider storyboarding potential scenarios to help develop several contingency plans. Prepared communications, including letters to affected customers and business partners, as well as other communications vehicles, should be prepared in advance so the crisis response team can focus on providing the best response to a given breach.
Rich, adding to Toby's comment, if a company maintains a large amount of sensitive customer information, then purchasing cyber liability insurance should be part of its plan. Now more than ever, coverage available on the market is much more comprehensive and affordable and includes access to loss prevention services to assist companies with both preparing and responding to breaches. I think that's critical.
Obviously, organizations and their risk managers would be well served to prepare in advance for a potential privacy breach event so that if it occurs, senior management has a response plan for how to handle related expenses and even potential legal liability issues. I'd like to thank Toby, John, and Mark for sharing their experiences and risk management tips. Stay tuned for future ACE podcasts exploring risk management topics.
The views expressed by Messrs. Merrill, Tallow, Mullen, and Greisiger are their own and do not represent those of ACE USA, any of the ACE group of companies, Nelson Levine, or Net Diligence. The material presented in this podcast is not intended to provide legal or other expert advice as to any of the subjects mentioned, but is presented for general information only. Listeners should consult knowledgeable legal counsel or other experts as to any legal or other questions they may have. Any references to insurance are also intended for general information only. For actual terms and conditions of any insurance, please refer to the policy. Coverage may not be available in all states. ACE USA is the U.S.-based retail operating division of the ACE Group of Companies, headed by ACE Limited, and is rated A+ Superior by AM Best Company and A+ Strong by Standard & Poor's. ACE USA, through its underwriting companies, provides insurance products and services throughout the U.S. Additional information on ACE USA and its products and services can be found at www.aceusa.com. The ACE Group provides insurance and reinsurance for a diverse group of clients around the world. This program copyright 2009, ACE USA, all rights reserved. For everyone at ACE USA, this is Steve Lubetkin. Thank you for listening and take good care.